follow up with what Representative Kummel began. I think that we really do need a legislative business plan before we start spending money, and that's been bothering me all the way along here. I think that we really do need to have some idea of the total amount to we're going to be able to spend and how it's going to be roughly divided before we start allocating it out. And I've been in private business for a long time, and one of the quickest ways to run into cash flow problems and ultimate bankruptcy is to not have a business plan and to not follow that business plan in allocating your funds.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate it. Senator Bates.
I'll just give a little historical perspective on this debate. It's a good one, and I appreciate what I always call the loyal opposition pointing out its position on these issues. Go back to last session or the session before, and my party was making the same speeches and doing the same votes for the same reason, and because those doggone Republicans kept running out the small stuff and not giving us the big budget, and we battled back and forth on it into August. And so I appreciate your positioning on it and your discussion of it, because it keeps us all accountable. It makes us think twice about these smaller budgets. So we do have to move forward and do have to get out. Representative Bellizio's comment about waiting for the May revenue forecast is right on target. If we had to wait that long to run these small budgets out, we just couldn't get through it in a reasonable fashion to do so. So this is our opportunity to take a deep breath, look at these budgets, these small ones, decide if we're appropriating money, you know, properly for them, get some thought about it, and but still bring up the issue of, is this the right way to run the shop or not? Some of us think we should come into session much later and come in every year for these issues and change how we do things. And that is part of the discussion also, more from a nonpartisan point of view. So your points are well taken. I respect them. Made the same points myself a few sessions ago for the same reasons. But until we actually have annual sessions and we come in here maybe in February or March preparing for a May forecast and getting out in June and coming back the following year to look at budgets again, I think this is the process we have to follow, because on a pragmatic basis, we can't get these budgets out, these small ones out fast enough after the May forecast. We just can't do it. And the big battles are ahead of us, and they will start tomorrow morning. And I'm looking forward to seeing the co-chair's budget, which, quite frankly, there's going to be a lot of people in our party who will not be very happy, I think, with some parts of it, just as in yours. So then the discussion will begin, and that should be a robust and fun-filled day tomorrow.
That's a good day for me to take off, I guess.
Definition of fun.
It's your intention to continue with the nonpartisan discussion. It was my understanding, I believe the first day, both the first and second week of our full Ways and Means Committee, that the co-chairs had indicated that they were going to use the December forecast as the base for the budget. So I'm uncertain as to why we should be concerned at all about the May forecast, since the co-chairs did say, and I confirmed this with Senator Schrader, that they did say that the basis would be the December forecast, and that any increase above that in latter forecast would be put into savings, and any decrease would have to be found. We'd have to find another way to fund that. That was my recollection. So it would seem that we should be able to create a business plan before the 1st of May.
Thank you, Senator.
Rebuttal.
Senator Bates.
Last time I checked, the co-chairs have two votes, and there are approximately 88 other votes. And the co-chair's statement at that time I thought was wise in many ways, but when you get right down to it, if the money's not there and you have to cut budgets or bring up other revenue sources, it's a whole new ball game. And if there's extra money, more than we expected, which I don't think it's going to be, but if there is, there are people who would want to put that into particular programs also. So while I appreciate their sort of message of being conservative and thoughtful, it is not the end of the game. And their statement in December is one they made, and they didn't ask for a vote, as I remember, from the Ways and Means Committee to support that statement.
PowerPoint.
And we need a budget out this morning, so I'm going to quit talking.
I think in Animal Farm they pointed out that some animals are more equal than others in their vote.
It's an Animal Farm.
I want to move this to a little higher plane, so I'm going to go over to my representative buyer.
Well, don't count on it. But Mr. Chair, as we talk about small budgets, I just want the department to know that you're big in my heart.
I got an extra large voter pamphlet statement.
Thank you. Yeah.
I just see it like
that. Nice photo.
Yeah.
Well, I think with the extra $200,000 that at least I should get a voter pamphlet that conforms to the ADA. I think it's type 12 is minimum requirement on that. But
he expects his part to be in color.
Yeah. I know we've all got visions of grandeur on this, and with that, we will note that probably Senator Whitsitt is going to be no vote on this, or are you going to go along with this vote?
I would just reserve the right to vote a different way later.
Thank you, Senator. And Representative Crumlin, is that going to be your stand pretty much, or would you decide or are you voting no on this at this time?
I'll give a courtesy vote out, but I do reserve the right to vote differently on the floor.
Are there any other exceptions then to this? So noted with everything, and the recommendation is approved. Thank you, Derek.
Sure.
Please.
Mr. Chair, as I said, Package 163 adds a permanent office specialist to the Elections Division. The agency was able to prove to me that they had actually hired this position for several biennia, and it makes sense to make this a permanent position. So the LFL recommendation is to approve Package 163.
Okay. Discussion? Senator Whitsitt.
Chair Jensen, Mr. Hill, where did they find the money to do this within their budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitsitt, they had some money and some temporary employees, and actually in other parts of their S&S budget is where they were pulling it from.
Thank you.
Senator Johnson.
I guess I'd follow on, just nuancing your description. What I think you said to us is they've hired this person as a limited duration for a long time, so now it makes sense to make it permanent. What I'm really looking for is the rationale that the services provided by this person, by this position, were essential needed services, not that we're just ratifying behavior of stealing money out of an S&S account to pay for a person, and now we're going to come clean and actually fund the FTE. I would look for some evidence that they made the case that this was an essential part of the organization, because the other way that you could have gone is to say, well, you've been doing limited duration for a long time, we're going to eliminate the position, rather than you've done limited duration for a long time, and now we're going to make it, I keep saying limited duration, I meant temporary. What I'm looking for is justification that this is an essential service provided by the position.
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I think that was the issue, is that so many more things have happened in the Elections Division that, and I think a distinction between a limited duration and a temporary is actually a distinction that probably needs to be drawn here.
It is, and we shouldn't have been so sloppy with my language.
It's understandable, but I think the issue here was that this was some work that was done above and beyond what had been done before, and the duties of this position have been basically above what is normally done in the Elections Division, especially during election season. So I felt comfortable with their justification for doing this, and I believe at the time Mr. Lindback also explained about how they've been using resources from different areas to help cover this, and they would like to have them permanently financed.
Okay. That satisfies me. Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation to approve package 163 create a full-time FTE in lieu of hiring temporary employees in the Elections Division.
You have heard the motion. Is there further discussion?
Yes.
Senator Whitson.
Have we identified, you've identified where the money came from, Mr. Hill. Are we going to be able to delete that other money from the budget?
Mr. Chair, Senator Whitson, I had not planned on doing that, no. I think there are other other places where they need to actually spend that money in the Elections Division.
And are we going to be looking at that somewhere later in the budget, at those other places?
Mr. Chair, what I have done is on the whole, I looked at their entire budget. I actually went back and reviewed their actual expenditures versus what had been budgeted. And I asked them these kinds of questions as we went through here. I feel comfortable with, especially given the amount of money that's in here, that this is a legitimate area. They have been using other resources from other divisions to help fill in some of these areas, especially when at times get real tight. So I felt comfortable with basically getting this aligned to where it is.
Senator Johnson.
One last question is for me. We're using general fund to do this. I believe that the Secretary of State's office is sitting on a pile of Help America Vote Act money. If this is in the Elections Division, why is this not eligible for HAVA?
Do you want to answer, Gene, or I can?
Hi. For the record, Gene Strait, Deputy Secretary of State. Because this is a position that we've used in the past, HAVA precludes us from using the money for any existing program. Anything we're already doing, we can't use HAVA for.
Follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
Would this include temporary? Because what you've done is to cobble together resources from other places to create a temporary position. And you're now making that distinction of turning what is basically a temporary Band-Aid on a slit throat into a full-time position. Is there enough flexibility in those definitions that you could say funding this as a full-time FTE is a new activity?
Mr. Chair, Senator Johnson, I think that we would have to justify that this position worked on federal elections and only HAVA-related programs. So, and what this position actually does not do that. They work on campaign finance, which isn't HAVA covered. And
follow
that
up, Mr. Chair.
Follow up.
What I'm looking for, Gene, is some exhibition of some creativity on your part to get this to fall under HAVA. Now, I didn't realize until just this second that HAVA is purely restricted to federal elections.
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, I know that we could not use the HAVA to do any of the campaign finance system that we just did because that was a purely a state function and it has to be connected to federal elections to use the HAVA funding. I can go back and work with John to see if we could justify any of this out of HAVA, yes, but I can't tell you right now that we can.
Mr. Chair, I would hate to hold up this whole budget on this point, but this is almost $100,000 of general fund, and I haven't heard a credible explanation yet from you about whether or not you could, you know, beat to fit, paint to match to get this to be a HAVA position. Because what's our HAVA balance right now?
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, roughly $21 million.
We're savaging budgets right now in this building hunting for additional general fund. I just left a meeting where I'm taking huge chunks out of one of the budgets that I have responsibility for. And I just haven't heard very much nimbleness or creativity to figure out how to make this work with HAVA. And if you can come back and say, we've exhausted every possibility, this is all the paths I went down, this is all the reasons why I can't get there, then I'll buy it. But with a $21 million balance on HAVA, I need a better, more thoughtful explanation why in the Elections Division this can't be a HAVA-funded position.
Senator Johnson. With your permission, if you would withdraw your motion.
Withdrawn, Mr. Chair.
We will pursue this at our second hearing on the Secretary of State's budget.
Okay, thank you.
And see where we can go with it, because I'm in a agreement with you on this, and I don't know if we get, if there's some portions of this that do not fall. I'm not sure why the position can't be split. And of those that apply to HAVA, where those duties are, then split the position where whatever the ratio might be.
It's got, if there's an explanation, great, but it's got to be credible, because you're sitting on $21 million and you're asking us to cough up $100,000 in GF, and I'm not convinced yet.
Okay. Well, look.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. We will move on then, Derek.
Okay. The next package is package 141. The agency is requesting an additional budget analyst position. After the explanation basically was that there's some complexity to their budget bill and some new programs. In general, I have tried to address some of the complexity issues in the budget bill. I also believe that the agency has been able to get by with their existing resources, and my recommendation would be to deny this package.
Mr. Chair, I'd move the LFO recommendation to deny package 141.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation regarding package 141, which is to deny the package. Is there discussion? Darren, I assume you have talked to the Secretary of State's office on this position and your reason for denial, and they've had no rebuttals that have been persuasive?
That have been persuasive, no, Mr. Chair. I think they finally have come to see my side of this one. They've reluctantly agreed with it.
Reluctantly agreed with it. Very good.
Mr. Chair, I do have a question. If I may,
please.
Darren,
no problem.
Thank you. Your comment here says the agency feels that the complexity of the budget bill. Oh, never mind. I think I just answered it. The agency feels that the complexity of the budget bill, in addition, warrants a position. But you're recommending, because they're able to accommodate things within their existing budget, that it be denied.
Exactly.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Senator Bates, got a question?
Oh. No, I don't. No, oh, I was okay. Asking for information from the good Senator Johnson.
Oh, okay. With that, is there any other discussion? Is there any objection? Sorry.
The next package is package 142, which has some reclassifications in the
whoops.
Business. Pardon me?
I said whoops. Go ahead.
All right, okay. Make sure I wasn't the whoops.
I was.
Okay. Package 142 is some reclassifications in the Business Services Division. It reclasses two positions. One of them, Accountant 3, is being reclassed into Accountant 4, and then Accountant Tech 2 is being reclassified into a Procurement and Contract Specialist. The first position was reviewed by the personnel folks and was found that that was the better classification. The second one was transferred in from the purchasing and contract section, and the reclassification is needed to account for the new job duties. My recommendation would be to approve the request.
I have.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation on package 142, reclassifications in the Business Services Division.
Senator Johnson moves approval of the LFO recommendation on package 142, reclassifications in the Business Services Division. Are there any questions? Are there any exceptions? Things?
Mr. Chair, I, again, because of the general fund dollars in this, my comments from our Elections Division would still hold.
Thank you, Representative. So noted. Are there any objections then? Are any objections? The package is approved. LFO recommendation is approved.
The next package is package 143. This is the reclassifications in the Personnel Resources Division. It reclasses two packages, or two, I'm sorry, two positions. One of them, a Human Resources Analyst 1, into a Resources, Human Resources Analyst 2. And a Principal Exec Manager D is being reclassified into a Principal Exec Manager E. Again, these positions were both reviewed and found that these were the duties of the new classifications.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Johnson.
A question to Jean. What's the Principal Exec D anticipated to move to an E? What do they do and how many people do they supervise?
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, they manage our whole HR functions. They supervise two people, but they handle all recruitments, all grievances, deal with the AG on any kind of suits that we have, discrimination suits. They manage that whole process for us.
And follow up, Mr. Chair.
Follow.
Remind me how big the agency is.
205, I think, is our FTE, isn't it?
Yeah.
Roughly.
Not quite to my recommendation, but yeah.
Around 200.
Okay, and I don't know whether this is a question for Gene or a question for Mr. Hill. What are the sideboards on a principal exec E? What's the in the steps? Where does it start and where does it stop?
Off the top of my head, I don't know the answer to that.
I guess, Mr. Chair, I'm going to support this package, but I'm going to renew a call for somewhere. We've got these pockets of personnel buried everywhere, and I'm not sure why it is that we're not using a more centralized personnel service. Now, I know the Secretary of State is a constitutional officer, and that may be a differentiating factor here, but I just don't think the state's doing personnel very well, and I'm trying to figure out why a principal exec E in an agency of 205, that just doesn't seem like a hugely onerous set of responsibilities.
Well, Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, we do use the MQs that are put together for the entire state, and it's based on not just, I mean, it's level of responsibility, and I can't tell you all of this because I do not do this, but I do know the general principles. It's based on, you know, level of responsibility and degree of who they're dealing with, and you know, there's all sorts of things like that. And this was reviewed by an outside consultant and compared to the MQs for the state, and then how other agencies, they also looked at where other agencies at the same level and what their HR people were referenced at.
Thank you.
Senator Bates.
Mr. Chair, I'm going to do something terrible here on somebody's name, and Satish, Mr. Satish, I am just can't
figure this out.
How do you pronounce your last name again?
Padilla, Senator.
Thank you. I'm going to work on this, okay? The issue that's been brought up here, I think, is one that it goes beyond the Secretary of State's office, and it's one we're looking at across many budgets. And that's right-sizing state government, and not just in this agency, but many others. To give us a little bit of reassurance here, can you tell me how the program is going, the pilot we're running in DHS, as far as right-sizing government with John Ramsey is going? I think you're a part of that group, aren't you?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beats, I'm not part of that group, but I can provide you with that information. I'll check and provide you with that information.
Just so we know what's going on here, we've had the same discussion in the other committees, and it's sort of buried in all this is the human resources questions, different levels of classifications, how much do we have as far as oversight and how much rubber actually does end up being the road. I'm sorry, I thought you were in that group. I apologize. And we've put together a group that has come from business to look at this. It's being headed up by John Ramsey, who was the executive vice president of Lockheed Martin. His last budget was bigger than the state's. Okay. That's how big Lockheed Martin is. His job for that company was to right size. They were in a competitive market. They had to do it. he's volunteering his time and bringing in the pros from Dover to do this. And that first project will be completed probably by the next January, February of 2009. If it's successful, this isn't about firing people. It's about right-sizing, moving people in the right direction, making sure that you're already working well together as a team. If that's successful, we'll be talking about rolling that out to other agencies. So that would bring to bear what you're talking about. Because what we run into is we're talking to agency heads. They're kind of lost in this, too, as much as anybody else is. You know, they're asked questions that they really can't answer well. So it's a collaborative project, hoping one we'll be seeing a lot more of within the next year. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Senator.
I'm sorry I can't get your name right, and I'm very confused. Okay, apologize.
Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair Jensen. Gene, what duties are these two positions now performing that they weren't performing during the last biennium when they were classified at the current position?
Chair Jensen, Senator Whitsitt, I cannot tell you detailed what's different right off the top of my head. I do know that our HR director, actually this was looked at quite a few bienniums ago, actually. And this person has been performing at this higher level for quite a while, actually. I'm not sure what biennium it was. And I can get that information if you want the detail of what's different in what they're doing. I can get that for you. I can tell you, though, that when it comes to the PME and D series, the principal executive series, those are more vague in the differences between them than lower-level jobs and technical jobs. So, I mean, I can tell you it's not as clear-cut with when you're looking at those as other positions are in the management levels. But I can get that for you.
Follow-up. So the primary reason then would be to move this person to a new classification at the lowest level so that then that person could work your way up in the pay scale in that second. So when we reclassify, we keep on paying more perhaps each biennium until they reach the top of that classification.
Chair Jensen, Senator Whitsitt, yes, that's how that works.
Thank you.
Other questions? I need a little bit of help on this question, on this particular. The person who winds up carrying this in the full committee will probably encounter some questions in relationship to the diversity of personnel within the Secretary of State's office. And I know we probably should have discussed this more during the general overview of the agency, but at least to my satisfaction right now, that wasn't done at that time, and so we will take the time to discuss this a little bit, if you can for me, here about the diversity and about the attempts on the part of the personnel division to work and ensure the appropriate diversity within the department. Can you speak to that, Jean?
Chair Jensen, I can a little bit. I did talk about it when I did the presentation on the human resources. We do track certain statistics for diversity. We look at people of color. We look at people of disabilities and women. Those are the three that statewide we look at. And actually, we are on par with the rest of the state, but we still could do better.
Wait a minute. On par with the rest of the state, is that are you comparing yourself to the other agencies, the rest of the state agencies, or are you comparing yourself to the diversity of the population within the state?
We are looking at the affirmative action statistics that DAS produces for the rest of the state, okay. So the state agencies as a whole. And those are based, targets are based on the diversity of the state.
Targets are based on the diversity of the state. The achievement is based,
correct.
Is compared to other agencies.
Yes. And we are, I'll have to find that.
And so if other agencies are failing, we're passing because we're failing along with other agencies.
Well, I wouldn't say, our targets are based on those, and we're very close within our targets. We're very close to our targets. We're a little bit below, and I'll have to find this for you because I don't.
I think the general discussion is all I've.
And I would say that we aren't as diverse as we could be.
Okay. Are we making some specific steps to address this lack of diversity?
We are trying, yes, Chair Jensen. We are.
And you don't have to do them for me now.
Okay.
But can you articulate those for me? So that when we move this issue forward, we have that information that we can respond to, because I know those are questions that are going to be coming, and I'd like to be able to give very clear, and distinct responses to those questions as to what we're doing, what we know is wrong, and what we're doing to try to correct those situations so that we do achieve the equality that we cherish so much, I think, here in the state of Oregon on these issues.
Chair Jensen, I'll get that to you.
I appreciate that very much. Okay. Any other discussion on? Hearing none, is there any objections? Hearing none, so the package 143 is approved for the LFO recommendation. Please, Darren.
Mr. Chair, we move on to the Information Systems Division. Now, package 171 establishes two information systems positions. In the past, these positions have been limited duration and approved on a biennium basis. The agency is now requesting that they be permanent positions. I again ask for some proof that these positions had been filled. They had, on a couple of occasions, they had some issues with trying to hire folks into the limited duration kinds of positions, and so I believe that making them permanent, since these are ongoing projects, is the right thing to do, and I would recommend that you approve the request.
Okay. Heard the LFO recommendations. Is there a motion? Senator Bates.
Well, I'd make a motion that we accept package 131 as recommended by LFO. I would like to ask a question real quickly about, though.
Senator Bates has moved we approve package 171 as recommended by LFO, and he has a question for Senator Bates.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. They have a situation, I'm going to go back to what Senator Johnson brought, they have a situation for your agency is very similar to a problem we have in DHS, in which we try to look everywhere we can for a federal match for various programs. The match is $1 for two, 60-40. And when we started this discussion 5 or 6 years ago with various parts of that agency, and DHS being huge, we found that many places a match could have been requested was not being requested. And as a result, we brought in millions of more federal dollars to make that match work. And sometimes people just felt that it wasn't appropriate to ask for that match, and when they checked it out with the feds, it was okay. If you don't ask, you don't get. And we have program after program that brought in new funding, especially at a time when we were in a recession that really helped us. This package is something that I assume is sort of overreaching. It's for your entire agency. It's information systems, and some small part of that must be necessary to continue your job and your part of the agency that takes care of elections. And I would ask that you do what we asked DHS to do. That was to comb the budget for those situations where they can get a match. And I would ask you to comb your budget the same way, thinking, where can I put HAVA funds in and withstand an audit and use that money appropriately? I know you're limited because if it's pre-existing, you can't move it forward, but there's a question of what the definition of pre-existing is. Where have you had to expand your staff because of needs of HAVA, and where can you plug HAVA money in as much as possible to back out other funds or to back out general funds? And that's sort of a mindset that we had to change in DHS, and I would hope that you would start thinking of your agency that way too. You have the money, You want it to last for a length of time. You know it may be renewed, may not be renewed. But to go through your budget and back out of the most general fund that you possibly can would be very helpful. Despite what people hear, we are not overflowing the general funds. We're at about 1999, 2000 level. And to comb your budget with that mindset would be helpful to us.
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, one comment I would like to make on that is, one, this is other funds because we're funding it out of projects that we're doing. And with the HAVA fund, we have provided with Darren a projection of where it's going to be spent, you know, until it would run out, actually, because of maintenance for OCVR, payments to counties for equipment and stuff. There is quite an extensive plan that I can get to all of you as to where the projected money is and how long that will last us to keep the systems we're putting in place operating and going. So, but we will look. I mean, we do look. If we can pay it out of HAVA, we do. But I can get to that plan, too, because there is, we've done a lot of work on trying to see how long that will last the state so that we don't have to ask for general fund for OCVR and other things that we're doing.
So. Yeah, I want to make sure that I understood your answer, because you said you're funding this out of other projects you're doing. Is that the answer you're going to provide to Senator Bates?
Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, what Senator Bates is asking us is about HAVA. And so what I thought I would provide is what we have programmed in to be spent out of HAVA so that you can kind of understand that.
That would be very helpful. But then you said you're funding this out of projects you're doing.
Well, this is funded out of other funds. So how we have funded this is through a interagency transfer from corporations, actually. They're working mainly on corporation projects right at the moment, these two positions, because corporation, as you will see later, has a package for a very large technology budget. And so a lot of the resources go there. So,
follow, Mr. Chair.
Follow it.
If I'm understanding properly, you know, there's other funds and there's other funds. In a lot of these budgets, we see other funds that start originally with general funds, get transferred and become other funds. And then there's real other funds that are fee-based.
Right.
If these are fee-based, I understand that.
These are fee-based.
That's what we're trying to get to.
Yeah, these are fee-based.
Thank you.
But as Darren's about to say, probably, out of our other, our corporation's other funds, anything we don't use does get transferred to the general fund. They're fee-based to us, yes.
But it's still a relationship back to general fund money.
Exactly.
Thank you. Thanks for being straight. Thank me honest and straightforward. I appreciate it. Which goes back to my original thing. You should screen these budgets for HAVA everywhere you can.
Yes, and we do try. But I will get you that more information.
Thank you.
Senator Whitson.
Thank you, Chair Jensen. It's my understanding that, you know, reclassification should be basically revenue neutral within the budget. And we're now, just this morning, at about $31,000 roughly in increased reclassification costs plus roll-ups. And we're currently at about $425,000 in money that the agency has been able to fund by scrounging dollars from other areas as temporary and limited service that now we're going to make permanent. And I would reiterate my previous comment. If this money was available from other parts of the agency over the last budget cycle, then we should be able to find somewhere close to $500,000 that is no longer needed if we're going to fund it straight up.
Well, Chair Jensen, Senator Whitsitt, this was in our budget last year as as limited duration. And we're just asking for them to be permanent. So this amount was in our budget last year. So, and I mean, what happens is any package that we had last year, we have to subtract that out to get to our base starting for this year and then add it back in if we want it again. And so that's what we've done. And so we're just asking to have these positions made permanent. It's the same that we had last year. We're just asking them for be permanent instead of limited duration, because we believe there's a need for them to be permanent.
Thank you.
Are there other questions? Are there objections to the LFO recommendation? Hearing none, so ordered.
Sure. Mr. Chair, next package is package 172. This is the technology projects for the corporations division. It's the first of a series of projects that we will go through. Basically, they're broken down by division. Within the technology projects for the corporations division are phase three and phase four of the central business registry project, a digital image records management system for the business registry, trade and service mark database, electronic e-payment enhancement, and the notary database rewrite. As an aside, I did have the technology folks from the Enterprise Information Strategy and Policy Division, part of DAS, review these because I had some concerns about the Secretary doing things that maybe weren't in line with the rest of the state government, especially some of these imaging projects. And I have reassurances from them that these do fall in line. They had a number of meetings with the Secretary and that the cost of these projects and the scope of these projects falls within things that are consistent with the rest of state government. So LFO would recommend approval of package 172.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Would you
Senator Bates.
Thank you. Would you accept a motion to accept package 172 per the LFO recommendation and approve the request?
Senator Bates moves package approval of the LFO recommendation on package 172. Is there further discussion? Karen? Do these numbers all add up to $1.2 million?
Mr. Chair, I certainly hope so. I checked them a couple of times. Did I make a mistake?
Well, as I get it, it comes to about $1.45.
Yeah.
Just as I'm doing it in my head here.
Well, Mr. Chair, maybe I messed up.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Somebody has a calculator that they're working this out with.
$1.145 is what.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're 55.
Oh, I left one out. I'm sorry. The business registration certificates is $55,000.
Okay.
I apologize. Thank you for catching that.
We were all going out to lunch there for a minute.
Yep. We were going to have a big lunch. Would you like to amend your motion,
yes,
Senator,
Mr. Chair,
to include that?
I would amend the motion to include the 55,000 for
business registration certificates.
For business registration certificates.
Okay, thank you. With that,
what is the total amount?
Then the total amount
is
1.2.
Correct. 1,300,000. The chair's eagle eye caught it.
With no further discussion, no exceptions, so ordered. 172, package 172 approved.
Mr. Chair, the package 173 is the elections division's projects, specifically the election business system project. Let me see if my math adds up here. This includes the campaign finance release 2, the committee registration release 2, candidate filing, complaints and violations, and the initiative and referendum. It is funded with the HAVA funds, the Help America Vote Act funds, federal funds. I also had these packages reviewed by the Department of Administrative Services using the same concerns that I had before, and they again assured me that the costs and the scope of these projects were okay.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bates.
Would you accept a motion to move package 173, Election Business Systems Project, and approve the request as per LFO recommendation. And I assume that this really is all HAVA money, that it's legitimate and it can withstand an audit, and it's a great thing for America.
Thank you, Senator Bates. You've heard the motion to approve LFO recommendation regarding Package 173. Is there discussion? No discussion. Is there any objections? Hearing none. So ordered. Package 173 is approved as the LFO recommendation.
Mr. Chair, Package 174 is the point of sale project. This is for the Business Services Division. This will allow them to add some more functionality to the public. It's $85,000 other fund. LFO recommends approval of the package.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Bates.
This is obviously for me not showing up on Mondays. Package number 174, point of sale project. I would move that this be accepted with the LFO recommendation to approve the request.
Senator Bates moves package 174 be approved as LFO recommendation on package 174 be approved. Is there discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, we now move on to the Archives Division's IS projects. This is $1.5 million with other funds. This package consists of the creation of Electronic Records Management System, or an ERMS, and a proposal for a Data Records Center Archives. The agency has taken steps to start this. They've created some file structures. What they want to do now is continue on and actually implement this. This is, again, one that I had several concerns as we're talking about electronic records, that we do something from a centralized point that is consistent with the rest of state government. We're not creating several pockets of these. I think there were several discussions with IRMD about this one, and again, they assured me that the scope and the cost of this project were in line with the rest of state government. LFO would recommend approval of package 175.
Do I have a motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm going to move package one. I'm going to ask we move package 175, electronic records management system, with the LFO recommendation to approve the request. I'd always like to know what where the other funds are coming from, not just where they're really coming from. Is it fee-based? Is it from general fund money from another agency? Just want that on the record for where it's coming from.
Chair Jensen, Senator.
Just a minute. Thank you. Senator Bates moves that we approve LFO recommendation on package 175 for the Electronic Records Management System project. Then he has a question, which the Secretary of State's office was just about to answer.
Chair Jensen, Senator Bates. This is actually coming from quite a few different resources within our budget. So it is coming from corporation fees, which ultimately results in a transfer back to the general fund. It will come from audits, and so that's an assessment. Am I correct on that, Jeff? All of that? So it's
audits would be general fund then.
Hold on. Jeff's thinking it was all corp fees.
Mr. Chair, I don't want to slow things down here, but if LFO can help us identify the actual source of these of various funds like this, it really helps out. Other funds in these particular budgets are sometimes not what we consider other funds in other budgets.
Okay.
I don't want to go back to this every single time through the process. Now, it would be helpful to know.
All right.
As long
Senator
as we're
Thompson.
In this little interregnum waiting for the answer to get the telephone back, there's also, in my view, a certain truth in funding. we've been sitting here now for an hour and have heard of many elements in this budget that are cobbled together from pieces of other budgets. And I'm sure that the Secretary of State's office is not unique in doing it, but this is the most obvious that I've heard the discussion. And what I'm trying to figure out is if we all talk about transparency in budgeting and comprehensible budgeting methodologies, cobbling together these sort of Frankensteins of funding it's very revealing, I think, how inexplicable our budget process is. And it just was so obvious during this morning's conversation that we're cobbling this together from little scraps of money here and there. I wonder when we begin to enforce the discipline to actually identify where all this money is coming from. And I think the issues raised by Senator Bates and Senator Whitsitt about the source of other funds is absolutely essential to elucidate the conversation.
And the chair can editorialize on that and support both or all three of your the questions and the committee's questions on this, because we have been concerned about that from really day one in these budgets. Everybody looks or has the tendency to look at other funds as kind of a sugar daddy, the chair's concern is these other funds come from someplace. And, for me to feel comfortable, spending other funds, I kind of need to know where they're coming from what other things they might be doing if they weren't coming this direction.
And if I can pile on, to what degree the legislature gets to opine on the use of these funds? When you said that you thought there might be audit funds in here?
Yeah, Chair Jensen, Senator Johnson, I'm actually not positive how we're funding this. This is an internal project to the Secretary of State. So
you are the deputy.
Yes, I am. But other people do this work. And on this one, on the other funds, I know that it's coming from either corporations. It could be coming from audits, because audits will be getting licensing. So, and to be honest, when we have to fund something like this, we do have to be creative to try to get these things done, because they're important to get done. So sometimes we do have to be creative to try to find the resources within our budget to make them happen. So when you're looking at something like this, you can look at the license per cost. We could look at how many people in each division and how many licenses, and then we could charge it out to each of them, and they'd have to pay it to us within their existing budgets to pay for this. They would have to pay for that. But I think this one, and why I'm confused on this, is because I wasn't part of how it was funded. I think that they determined to pay this out of corporation fees.
Jean, I think if I sense the moods and the attitudes and the questions of the committee correctly, and that we would be extremely supportive of creativity, and the fact that you have to do it. I think the main thing that the committee is concerned with is how this puzzle was put together. And if you are so unfortunate as to ever have, this chair on this subcommittee again while you're in that particular position, it probably will be one of the questions that I'll be asking you to do before we ever get to this point, because I think that's an issue that the legislature needs to have. I mean, I think we need to have it in real detail and be very specific about it.
Well, and across all, respectfully, yes. Mr. Chair, across all budgets. It just was so obvious this morning. But we ought to know where it's coming from across all the budgets.
Yes. Senator Bates.
Not to keep picking at this thing, because we do want to move some things through today. It's the matter of transparency. I mean, all money spent, whether they're fees or general fund, it's important that we have oversight and apparently do our job properly for it. But general fund money is especially precious. It's very limited, and it goes to, in some parts of state government, where no other way can be funded.
Seems like we have the answer has come back. Why don't you have a chair?
You get to talk.
Oh, okay. So my bottom line here, what we're asking for here is more transparency, not only from you, but from everybody. Okay. As commonly, I think the agency's realized, if it says other funds, we probably don't look quite as closely. Probably should look just as closely, but we don't look quite as closely because we know that general fund money is so limited and so precious to us. We have to really apply to programs where there's no other chance of raising funds for us. So that's where the drive has come from.
Well,
don't feel too victimized.
Yeah, and Chair Jensen, Senator Bates, you know, actually, we have been looked at really closely because of audits and because of our transfer to the general fund. I think LFO does look at every dollar that we have thinking, well, where can we transfer more to the general fund? So I do understand that, and I do agree, but now Jeff will be able to answer that question for you.
For the record, Jeff Morgan, I'm the director of the Business Service Division. Regarding package 175, 1.3 of that is fees derived from Corporation Division. 200,000 of that is Archives Division other funds, of which some could be assessment money. At the percentage of that is general fund, we gave a rough estimation when that question was asked earlier in our hearings of how of the assessments we get, how much is general fund. We don't track it that way. Our best that we could get in working through DASP was 38% of that could potentially be general fund dollars. We don't know that specifically.
Thank you.
Okay.
We have a motion on the committee?
I think we do. I think it was Senator Bates wasn't with them.
I think I made the motion.
Okay. Are there other discussions? Representative Cromwell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With regards to the electronic medical records management system project, I'm having a real difficult time with this from a standpoint of why it takes $1.5 million. Whether it's other funds or general funds, at this particular point on this request to me is not relevant. What's relevant is the amount of money. And the reason why I'm having a hard time with it is because in the private sector, I happen to know that there are businesses out there that do electronic records management. That's what they do. And they store documents, they record the documents, they can retrieve the documents, they can do the whole thing. I also happen to know that there is a company that has put their product on the market. And to do all of the sorts of things that the state would need to do with these records the cost of the license is $12,000, and it's an unlimited license. And what I mean by that is that you do unlimited documents. So I'm having a real tough time with why does it cost the state and local government $1.5 million when the private sector is able to get it up and running and doing what it's supposed to do for a lot less money. I mean, I realize, you know, I probably have just enough technology background to be dangerous. And I understand that. But I'm really struggling with this notion that for an electronic records management system, that we need to spend this kind of money. It's just sort of baffling to me.
Chair Jensen, Representative Crummell, all I can tell you is that about 2 years ago, we went out with a request for information from companies that do this. We put together what we thought we were going to need, one of them being that it had to be certified by the Department of Defense under 50, 5012, I think is the standard, which the department, that Department of Defense standard basically says that a company to get certified means that it has to be portable with every other product out there. So if one goes down, one goes bankrupt or goes away, then it'll work with someone else so that nobody is stuck, basically. That's what that standard is calling for. So we asked for them to, that they had to be Department of Defense, meet that standard. They had to work with either Outlook or GroupWise because those are both used within the state. And one of the things that we were looking at when we were doing that is not just managing our records, but eventually, because of archives, they're going to have to take electronic records from the legislature, from the governor, from every agency, and then manage those. And those are growing exponentially every day. Right now we have a big warehouse that we house boxes of paper that people keep. But there are more and more records that are becoming electronic, and they never even become paper. So that's part of this is also we're looking that eventually we're going to have to be the repository of everybody else's records as a storage and manage them as well, send out transmittals and say, these records are old, they need to be destroyed. What we do with paper right now, we're going to have to do that for electronic. But this was based on costs we got from those companies, and I think if I remember right, we got about 12 companies that responded. Some of them were not Department of Defense certified yet. They were in the process, you know. A lot of them couldn't do GroupWise, which is one of the email systems that the state uses. More of those are becoming so they can. But so we base this cost off of what we got from those RFIs, requests for information. And then we'll have to go out for an RFP again and get. So this is an estimate based on that information, that research that we've done.
Well, Mr. Chair, if that's the case, and, you know, sometimes, I don't know, our business is sort of looking at the government as being a cash cow and saying, well, you know, we can charge them more. I don't know. But I would want this particular issue to be going to Joint Legislative Information Management and Technology Committee during the course of the interim. If we're going to approve this, that they provide the legislative oversight for keeping this program on track and for making sure that the dollars are being well spent and that it's not being overspent. I would also suggest that in addition to that, and I'm sure that the Secretary's office has been working with, it's not IRMD anymore, but if I say IRMD, you know who I'm talking about, EIS, EIO, whatever it's called.
EIS.
Yeah, something like that, Mr. Chair. To make sure though that this project has got the oversight and to make sure that the dollars being spent on it really are necessary. Because, like I said, I mean, one company that I'm familiar with in Yakima, Washington, that does document storage has got medical offices. They also, as a matter of fact, have a contract with the state of Washington to store and maintain some of their documents and records from the local DHS office. I'm just kind of wanting to make sure that we're not sort of getting gouged because we are the state government and because it's viewed as being that we have deep pockets.
Thank you, Representative. Any other observations on this issue? I would recommend, Representative, that you pass what information you have on to the department for them to pursue and look at. I would certainly hope in good faith that if they can find a cheaper buck or cheaper source, that they'll be anxious to use that cheaper source because. They'll look much better 2 years from now when they come back if they can point to that. I would, if it's not too much trouble, Representative, I'd like to ask you to, just pass on what you have to them and appropriate form.
I will do that, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
Thank you.
And it's not any problem at all.
Thank you. Is there any other discussion? Are there any objections? Hearing none, so approved.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, package 131 is the school district performance audits. It was $482,048 of other funds. It's three positions, three FTE. The agency did speak to this, and there's a Senate Bill 47 is the policy bill associated with this. So LFO would recommend that we deny this package in this budget. If Senate Bill 47 ends up coming to Ways and Means, which it should with kind of a fiscal. Actually, I believe it's on its way here. It's already been referred to Ways and Means. It can be the funding for it can be discussed with the bill itself. So we would recommend that this package be denied at this time.
Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation to deny package 131.
Senator Johnson moves the LFO recommendation to deny package 131. Is there any discussion?
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Representative Edwards.
So Senate Bill 47 is the I'm just clarifying what I think you just said. Senate Bill 47 is the policy of the school audits policy bill. If that passes, then the funding would be discussed in this committee or another Ways and Means committee, and just to LFO, it just makes sense that we not be talking about it as a part of their, assuming that it's going to be a part of their budget when the policy bill hasn't passed yet. Is that?
Mr. Chair, Representative Edwards, it's exactly it.
Okay. Just want to be clear. Thank you.
There's something out there that's coming through loud and clear in my...
The lawnmower, sir.
You know, if it go away, I'd be much happier. okay, you've heard the motion, and is there any further discussion? Any objections? Hearing none, package 139 per the LFO recommendation is denied at this point, pending the outcome of Senate Bill 47, which will be heard later in the Ways and Means chamber.
Mr. Chair, package 132 is a position reclassification for the Audits Division. You'll note that it has a $0 financial. It's to reclassify an existing Principal Exec Manager A to a Training and Development Specialist 2. This will reflect the duties that are currently being performed by that position.
Is this legal?
How does this work?
Why?
We would entertain a motion to approve the LFO recommendation, and you can all go home and say that you approved a recommendation for zero budget.
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to offer the motion, but I'd sure like to know how this works financially. How is it a zero?
Mr. Chair, if I might.
Sure.
These positions are paid the same. It's to get the classification to match the proper position.
Okay.
So if instead of doing job duties of a Principal Exec Manager A, the job duties are of the different of the Training and Development Specialist position.
And it just happens to line up that wherever the Principal Exec is in the steps, the Training and Development Specialist 2 is at an identical pay grade within the step of that job classification.
Senator Johnson, correct.
Okay. Then, Mr. Chair, I would move the LFO recommendation on package 132 to approve the request.
Senator Johnson moves LFO recommendation to approve the request on package 132.
Does the phrase micromanagement jump to your mind? Mr. Chair, does the phrase micromanagement jump to your mind with this?
Yes, it does.
Thank you.
Conversely, Mr. Chair, the legislature is always very eager to engage itself in position allotments and position classifications. And so while this one happens just serendipitously to zero out, I think it is completely within the purview of the legislature to involve ourselves in FTE counts and agencies.
Senator Johnson, I think that's, and I think we've had one other kind of hitting at this request this morning or this issue this morning. I suppose one wonders whether or not the two are the same or whether we're at a little different point on A and B, but they are the same now and they will not necessarily remain the same for time and all eternity.
Chair Jensen.
That's all right.
Yeah, I think that's correct. Yeah.
But Mr. Chair, in response to a question raised by Senator Whitsitt earlier, in this case, we're dropping down. And so the training and development specialist, too, will eventually top out at less than a principal exec A.
I believe that's correct, Senator Johnson.
Okay. But we're ultimately saving money on this. Some future review.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
When I see these reclassifications and everything, it's so odd to be talking about positions and not people. I'm looking for the names. It's like we're talking about someone, and yet we're looking at a position. So it's just a different point of view. Here.
It's much easier to talk about positions and not people, especially when we're talking about the money they're going to or not going to receive, I think.
Mr. Chair, I see your hand poised on the gavel, and I just want to alert whoever's going to handle this question tomorrow that I will raise the question of why we're jumping from a principal exec manager B to a D, which seems like a whale of a reclass. I'm going to want a little detail on that.
Okay.
On package 132, then, is there any further discussion? Seeing none, are there any objections? Seeing none, so ordered, and we approach the bewitching hour. People have some 10 o'clock appointments. We are going to stop at this point. We'll pick it up when, Sarah?
8:32, roughly.
8:30 tomorrow morning.
Yes,
you know this. And you'll have all sorts of things for us. We are adjourned.